Good morning. My name is Pastor Rick, and I have the joy and privilege of being with you, along with my wife, Georgie, for the next 3 months, Lord willing. And we're very glad to be here. It's, I think, as Ed mentioned, it's almost like old home week because Georgie and I were the first village missionaries at Trail Church, and that was back in the early 70s. You know, it's a joy to be able to sing, and thank you, Carolyn, about our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. It's an opportunity that we have today to bear witness and testimony of His love and presence in our life. And we do that by taking communion. It's an opportunity for us as Christ followers to identify personally with what He did on the cross when He suffered and died and shed His blood for us. So I'd like to read this morning from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, a familiar passage, especially around communion time. And then we'll partake together. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So if you would peel back your wafer, and I'll lead us in a word of prayer as we ask God to bless this symbolism of the broken body of our Lord Jesus, who suffered and died on our behalf. As we take it, we ask our Lord that we might be mindful of your personal love for us and your sacrifice for us. For we do this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please partake. As we take the cup, let's be mindful of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus, because the scriptures tell us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so take it now in remembrance of Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great love, wherein you loved us to the degree that you sent your one and only Son to suffer and die on the cross for us, that we might experience new life, abundant life, and eternal life. We give you thanks. In the name of our Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen. At this time, I'll be a little more organized next week. And I have to have, you're probably wondering, is he going to do special music? The answer is no. When God gave gifts, I don't know what happened when music was put out, but I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, I need to ask one question. What time is the meal? Because as a new believer, Georgie and I were invited to my home, where my dad was the cook on special occasions for my mom, who was disabled. And I thought that I really needed to impress them on the importance of them getting right with God. So the table would be set, and I would say, "Dad, we're not eating until I pray." And then I would recite the previous week's highlights of classes at Multnomah. And the food would get cold, and my dad would get hot. So I don't want to get on the bad side of the cooks, and that's all of you. So is there a general time? Ed, what's a general time for me to be sure I'm done so we can finish up? About 12 o'clock, is that about right? A quarter till. You know, the last church that Georgie and I served in Village Missions was in Pahrump, Nevada. Pahrump, Nevada is 60 miles out in the middle of nowhere from Las Vegas. But they also, too, needed to be done by a quarter to 12 because they wanted to beat the other churches to the buffet line. Well, let's pray. Father, as we get started and get introduced to Georgie and me, I pray for these people that you would bless them, bless our time together as we spend these few months. May we be encouraged and strengthened and furthered along in our walk with you. We ask this for your glory, our Lord, and pray in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. I thought the best idea for us as we get started would be for you to become a little better acquainted with me and Georgie. And so I thought I would share the fact that Georgie and I were high school sweethearts. Actually, we started dating the summer after I graduated from high school, and she still was in high school. We went to different high schools, but both of them were in the city of Portland. And we've been married 58 years this last November. And I still am as much in love with her now as when the day she said, I do. We were raised in Portland. And after I came out of the Army, we were married while I was in the Army. And we came back and settled in Portland. And I began a business career in the life insurance business. And there was the leading salesman in that particular company and office. And if you happened to be the leading salesman at the end of the year, the company provided you an office and a secretary there. I thought, that's where I want to be. The current leader would come and he would ask in the meeting room, where there was coffee and whatnot, if anybody wanted to have devotions, he would start in 5 minutes. So I went, and I went again. My motivation was I can get next to this guy and learn some secrets and eventually take his place. Well, unbeknownst to me, he had an agreement with God that if anybody came 3 times in a row, he would talk to them about their relationship with Jesus. So he made an appointment with me to come to his office. I said, oh boy, here we go. And when I was there, he asked me 4 questions that completely changed my life. He asked me if I believed in God. And I said I did, because I did. He asked me if I believed in the Bible. I said, yes, I believe in the Bible. And then he said, do you believe in Jesus? And I'd been sent to Sunday school enough as a youngster, and Georgie and I were involved in a church. So I said, yes, I believed in Jesus. And then he asked me the 4th question. He said, Rick, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And I looked at him. I said, well, how can you know the answer to that question? And he shared with me from the Bible how I could know the answer to that question. He shared with me the fact that God loved me and had a wonderful plan for my life. He shared the only verse in the Bible that I knew by heart. You probably know it too. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And I was encouraged until he shared with me the second truth that's seen throughout the Bible. And that is that man is separated from God because of all the wrong things that he thinks, says, and does. The Bible calls it sin. He didn't have to convince me that I belonged into the camp of the sinners, because I knew I'd said some things and thought some things and done some things that I was sure that God wasn't pleased with. All right? He shared with me the third principle was that Jesus Christ died on the cross in order that I might be forgiven of all of those wrong things. And he shared with me that fourth thought is that I must individually make that choice to receive Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord. He shared the Bible verse from John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And there in his private office, I knelt down in front of his long mahogany desk and prayed a simple little prayer inviting Jesus Christ to come into my life and take control of my life and make me the person that he wanted me to become. Well, my life was changed, not in a dramatic way. There wasn't any bells or whistles or visions of anything of that nature, but I knew something happened within me. The verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. New life had come to me, and I was beginning to experience it in a wonderful way. Shortly thereafter, Georgie reaffirmed her faith in the Lord Jesus. And together we launched forward in our walk as Christ followers. I continued in my business career until God intervened and nudged me back to college to prepare to serve him. And that's what I did, graduating from Multnomah in 1971. And you're thinking, man, is he old? It was at Multnomah that I heard about Village Missions. They had a big missions conference every year, and you could talk to missionaries from all over the world. And God directed my attention to Village Missions. Now, I need to remind you, I'm a city boy. I was sharing with a couple of the guys at breakfast, my exposure to country living growing up was once a year, going from Portland to Gresham to the county fair, where my dad, who had a farming background, would drag my mother and myself through the barns. And if I behaved, then I could get to go to the midway and play the games and so forth. So why was God leading this city boy to rural America? I can remember as Georgie and I drove in a Sunday afternoon, just kind of reflecting about what God was going to do in our life following graduation. And I broke the silence with the words, you know, honey, I can think of no worse place for God to put us than in rural America. But God has a good sense of humor, doesn't he? Yeah. So this city boy became transplanted and became a country boy. It took me a little time to learn the difference between a cow, a steer, a bull, and a heifer, but I got there. And the people were patient with me. And we have spent 36 years full-time in ministry, and then the last 17 years doing what we're doing right now. And that is helping in Village Missions churches where there's a pastoral need for 3 or 4 months. So that's a little bit about our spiritual journey. I have so many stories. That's a problem when you get old. You have an accumulation of stories, but they're true and how God works, and I'll be interweaving them in the next 3 months. Just so you won't get bored, I won't dump them all on you at once. But I'd like to have Georgia come and have her tell you a little bit about our family. So here's my bride of 58 years.
Hi, I'm Georgie, and we are very, very happy to be here with you all. I just want to thank the people that really made us at home when we came the other day. There were men here to help us unload, and that was just really, really nice. And there was a sign on the door, if you've noticed it, you probably signed it, that said that we're just welcoming all of us, and so we're really appreciated for that. And then there was flowers in the parsonage. And we had dinner all cooked for us that first night that we were here. So we're just feeling very, very welcomed already. So just to let you know that we live right now in Dallas, Oregon. And we have 3 children. They're all grown. And we have 7 grandchildren. And our first son and his wife, Paul and Debbie, they all live in the same area now, which at one time, we served a church in Edgewood, Washington, and they are all back in that same area. So it's kind of interesting. Our oldest son, Paul, is a truck driver, and they have a daughter, Shelby, who is grown and out of the house right now. And then our second son is Tim and Mindy. They've been married for 30 years. He was a retired fireman, and he's doing another job now. But they have 2 children, and their son, Zach, who's just a sweetheart, he's out of the house now, too. He's out and working on his own. And they have a daughter, Allie, who just graduated from college just last year. And she is in, sports medicine and volleyball coaching and like that. So she's really excited and getting started in her career. And then we have a daughter too, and her name is Beth, and she's married to Spence. And Spence was a West Point grad, and so they've been in the service most all of their years, but now they have moved back to the Puyallup area to Washington. And so they have a daughter, Zoe, who is kind of following in her dad's suit as he has, as she is a second lieutenant in the Army. And so that's where she's starting off her career. And then they have a boy, Sam, who is a ninth grader, and a daughter, Bella, who is a seventh grader. So they're just real joy. All of our kids love the Lord and are walking with him. And so we're just really happy about that. We're just so happy again to be here. We're just really excited to meet all of you and to get to know you better too, so thank you.
We are proud grandparents. We love our grandkids and they are a joy to our heart. Enjoy spending time with them. I'd like to finish up here, and who knows, I might even be done early. If I'm done early, that will give me some time in the future. No? All right. I'd like to finish up with the reality of that new life that I mentioned in Christ. When you accept Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, you see, you are what the Bible calls born again. And that brings to you a new life versus the old life. A new life in Christ. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. A full, rich, abundant life is possible for us now as we walk with Jesus by faith. And then the promise of God's word is eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. New life, abundant life, and eternal life. Promises that God makes to us. I'd like to share again that penetrating question that got my attention. You see, Georgie and I were churched people. We attended church. We thought we were okay. I hope that by the time I died, my good works would outnumber my not so good works, and God would let me into heaven. I knew I'd have to live a long life. You got that, didn't you? I thought that going to church was enough. I didn't understand that God had more in store for us in that new life. When God comes into a life, he changes and he begins to work. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the weeks ahead. We're going to talk about the God you can trust. But before we look at the God we can trust, because the God we can trust is revealed in the book. Amen?
Amen.
Before we can know the God we can trust, we have to learn and have confidence in the book we can trust. That's for next week as we launch forward together. I hope you'll plan to come back. I'm a frustrated ventriloquist, so from time to time I might draw on one of my characters to help make a point or have an object lesson that the kids might like from time to time to help them understand God's love. You also need to understand that one of my personal characteristics is I like to laugh. And so included in my sermon messages from time to time, you might find a humorous story or a goofy pun, but always realize they will relate to the topic that we're talking about. So you have that to look forward to or to dread, depending upon your persuasion. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I ask you today, if you were to stand before God and he would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? If your answer is anything other than because of my personal faith in Jesus, then you should go back and reaffirm that personal faith in Jesus. Put the stake down that you have trusted in him and are committed to being a Christ follower. Now, we don't know each other. I'm still trying to learn your names. So I don't have any idea where you are in your walk with God. You might be a seeker. You might be a follower. You might be committed. I don't know. But I do know this, that God loves you right where you are and will accept you right where you are if you will accept his sacrifice and love for you through Jesus. So I'm going to pray a prayer that I prayed some, oh my goodness, many years ago now, that began that personal adventure of being a Christ follower. If you would like to pray silently with me, I would invite you to do that, because God knows our hearts and he'll answer any prayer of the heart. So let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Pray along with me silently. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great love. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and dying on the cross for all of the things that I've done and said and thought that aren't pleasing to you. Forgive me, I pray. Cleanse me, I ask. Come into my heart, my life, and take control. Make me the person you desire me to become. Thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you've just prayed that prayer for the first time, and I would encourage you to share that. I'd be happy to hear about that, or you can talk to anyone else, really. Just share that I became a Christ follower today. So with that in mind, I'm going to ask Carolyn to come back up. And we're going to do a song, right, Carolyn? And then I'm going to do the benediction and pray for the food, and I'm going to be on time.
Would you stand as we sing, please? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above you, heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let's pray. Now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord give you peace now and forevermore. It's in his name we pray. And our Father, we thank you for the food that has been prepared for us. We are grateful for the faithful who have cooked and made this meal. Bless them. And bless us together as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen.